So she wrote her, know that a woman who brings assets into the marriage, so generally speaking, they're divided up into two classes, either Nechsei Milug or Nechsei Tzon Barzel. Nechsei Milug, the halacha is that the Baal's Ochel Peros, and as long as they remain married. So let's say it was a field, that was Nechsei Milug, so the Baal is Ochel Peros for the duration of the marriage, and should he die before she does, then his estate would have to return the Nechsei Milug to her, or if he divorces her, whereas if she dies before him, so then he would be Yoresh those Nechsei Milug, because he's Yoresh all of her assets. Now in this case, what happened was she tried to go ahead and give the Nechsei Milug to her son, meaning to say that as long as they were married, so the Baal would continue to be Ochel Peros. And obviously, if the Baal dies first, then that would be irrelevant. It would go back to her. But if she dies first, so then instead of the Nechasim going to the Baal, as they normally would, in this case, they would go to her son. The other type of asset, which is included in the Ksuba, is the Nechsei Tzon Barzel. Those are basically assets whereby the husband gets them at the point of marriage and guarantees responsibility to return them should he divorce her or should he die first. If they're not around, so he has to replace them. If they've been devalued, he has to replace them. They're Tzon Barzel, like they're guaranteed. The capital is guaranteed during the marriage. It's almost like a chov. It's almost like he's saying, I'll take these now. We're going to assess them at $1 million. And should I divorce you, so then I'll give you $1 million. It just happens to be that if these things are still around, so he has to actually give these things back because there's certain sentimental value or the like. That's Nechsei Tzon Barzel. So we're talking here about Nechsei Milug. Later on, the Rishonim, we'll see, will bring in Tzon Barzel. But Nechsei Milug is what we're talking about. And so that's what she did. So what's the halacha? That's what we want to know about. Now, as we said, during marriage, the Baal has a kinyan peros in the Nechsei Milug, and she, we'll call her, has the kinyan aguf. We're going to define those terms shortly. But the pshat is that she has a kinyan aguf because she's going to get this back should the marriage end. And he has the kinyan peros because even though she owns them, she is allowing him to use them, and therefore he's considered to have the kinyan peros. So getting back to the story. Basar de Shechiva, Azol Rav Shmuel Bar Abba, Kamed Reb Yirmiyah Bar Abba, Ukme B'Nechsei. So he died. Sorry, she died. And now the question is, who gets this? Was her gift to her son, or her shtar to her son, giving him the Nechsei Milug a valid shtar, in which case at this point the son would get them instead of the normal din whereby we would say the Baal is Yoresh? Or would we say no, that she had no right to give them to her son? That's the shaila. So what's the halacha? So she went before the first posek here, Reb Yirmiyah Bar Abba, another Abba, wonder if he's related. This is like an inside story here. And Reb Yirmiyah Bar Abba ruled in the favor of the son against the husband. Azul Rabbi Abba, so he lost the case, Amra lemilsa kamedra of Hoshaya. In other words, he thought perhaps I was incorrectly, that these really should be mine. She had no ability to give them to her son, and therefore I should be the Yoresh. Azar of Hoshia, Amr Kamedra of Yehuda, Amr Lei, Achy Amr Shmuel, Ha'isha Shemachra B'nechzei Malug B'chayei Ba'ilu Meisa Ba'al Motzi Me'adal Kuchos. Meaning to say, over here as well, if she's to sell her Nechzei Malug B'chayei Ba'ilu, and then she dies, the Ba'al Motzi Me'adal Kuchos. In other words, she lacks the ability to sell. And likewise over here, she should lack the ability to give them to her son. So therefore, basically, according to this, Rev Abba is entitled to the property and not Rev Shmuel Bar Abba. Amrua Kamed Rev Yirmiya Bar Abba. So basically, they went back to Rev Yirmiya Bar Abba. They told Rev Yirmiya Bar Abba, you know, Shmuel ruled against you. Amr Lahu, Ana Masnisa Yadana. My ruling is based off of a Mishnah. What's the Mishnah? It's not. Akosev Nechasav Levno Lachar Moso. So here we have a very similar situation of a Kenyan, one person having a Kenyan Paris, one person having a Kenyan Agof. How so? Akosev Nechasav Levno Lachar Moso. Now, what does it mean? Somebody says, I'm going to give my assets to my child after I die. The problem with that is that after you're dead, you have no control over your assets. Whoever the heirs are, take control upon the death. This is one of the reasons why halachic wills are complicated. It's possible to do them, but they're complicated. Because you can't just say, after I die, my assets are going to go to my friend Bob, because at that point they already belong to your children. You're not the assets or whoever your Yerushim are. So what's going on over here? So the Gemara explains that Kosev Nechasav Levno is Hayom Ula'achar Moso. And basically what that means is Guf Hayom and Peiros La'achar Moso. Even that, you could ask, how do you have the ability? And maybe we'll get back to that question. But basically what happens is when you're Kosev Nechasav Levno La'achar Moso, what does that mean? That means that the son is a Kenyan Haguf and the father is the Kenyan Peiros. Why? Because the father retains the Peiros, right? He doesn't want to give away he still needs income in his retirement. So he wants to keep the payros, but he wants to make sure this particular son gets the asset. So here too, we have the exact same situation as the Nechzei Melug. How so? Again, in the Nechzei Melug, we say that the Isha is the Kinyan Haguf. Why? She's ultimately going to get it, at least assuming that he dies or he divorces her. And even though if she dies first, he gets it, that's just Yerusha. But basically, she is the Kenyan Aguf. It's ultimately coming to her. And he is the Kenyan Peiros, because as long as they're married, he's Zocha in the Peiros. And likewise over here, the child is the Kenyan Aguf. Why? It's going to the child. Not again because of Yerusha, but because it's Kosev Levno. So the child is the Kenyan Aguf. And the father is the Kenyan Peiros, because as long as he's alive, he's Elchin Peiros. And the Gemara, as we'll see, equates these two cases. You could have perhaps imagined being Mechalik, because in this case, we won't say why, but for the Gemara is going to assume that these are the same cases, same halach, right? What do we do in this case? So, what's the halacha? So it says that Haben Einu Yachol Limkor, Ipnei Shehen Gershos Hav. The son can't sell them because the father has a Kenyan Peiros. And Ha'av, Einu Yachalim, or Mipnei Shein Ksuvin Leben. The father can't sell. They're destined for the son. Okay, so that's great. But what happens if they try to sell? Macher ha'av mechur nad sheyamos. He could sell what he has. What does he have? He has a kinyan peros ad sheyamos, so that he could sell. Macher ha'ben ein elokeach ad sheyamos av. If the son sells it, so then we'll say, again, he could sell what he has. So as long as the father's alive, he has nothing. Just like as long as the father's alive, the son has nothing. When the father dies, so then the lokeach will get it, because that's when the son would get it. That's the simple case. The question is like this. Kimayis av miha isle lokeach. Va'af agav demes haben b'chai ha'av delo asu lidei haben. What about in the event that the father dies after the son, or the son dies before the father? So why is that an interesting question? Because, again, if the straightforward case of if the father dies first, it's very straightforward. Each party is able to sell what they have. The question is, what happens if the son dies first? Why? Because then he's, what would be in this case if he didn't sell it? So his yarshin, right, he would be morish. So in this case, question is, can he sell it? So we're being medayik that kimayis av mia isle lokeach vafagav demes haben b'chayav. The lokeach will still get it. Why? Delo asi lidei haben still didn't come to the son, so why is the lokeach able to get it? Ki Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish da'amar lo shna mesa ben chayav delo asu liyadei lo shna mesa av b'chayav ben dasu liyadei deben kana lokeach. Either way, the lokeach gets it. Now, why is that? That's because Rish Lakish is going to hold Kinyan Peiro, Slav Kinyan Agoth. What does that mean? Who is considered the Iker Bailam? The Baal Kinyan Aperos or the Baal Kinyan Agoth? If we assume that the Baal Kinyan Agoth is the Iker Bailam, so then they have the ability to sell it. And therefore, Rish Lakish assumes that the Baal Kinyan Agoth is the Iker Bailam. That means the son is able to sell it. And therefore it's sold. Upon the death of the father, the lokeach gets it, regardless of whether the son predeceases the father or not. Ditmar, machar ben chayav, umeis ben chayav. This case, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, lo kana lokeach. Why? Because Rabbi Yochanan holds kinyan peros is kinyan aguf. So the father is considered to be the Iker Bailam. And Mimela, the son can't sell it, or he can't sell, the sale is not going to be effective in the event that the son dies before the father. Reish Lakish Amar, Kana Lokeach. Because Kinyan Peros is Lavka Kinyan Agafir Yochanan Amar Lo Kana Lokeach. Amar Lokaki Ketani Mas Nisin Machar Haben. Lo kana lokeach ad shiyamosav v'chimayis ha'av isle lokeach delomes haben b'chayav adas ulidei haben. The Mishnah states that when the father dies, the lokeach gets it. So the question is, under what circumstances? Is the Mishnah talking about under all circumstances, regardless of who dies first? Or no? It's only talking about a case where the father dies first. The Yochanan says, Mishnah is only talking about a case where the father dies first, where the son died first. The lokeach wouldn't get it. Right? Delo meis haben chayav, dasu lidei haben. Aval meis haben chayav, delo asu lidei haben, ki mayis avnami las leila lokeach. Alma kasavar kinyan peros, ki kinyan aguf tami. The father, who is the kinyan peros, is ki kinyan aguf. Chizavin lav, didei zavin. When the father sells it, he's selling, when the son sells it, he's selling something that isn't really his. Reish Lakish Omer, Kana Lokeach. Kiktani Mas Nisin Machar Haben. Ein Lelokeach Hachemasav. Kimaisav Mias Isle Lokeach. When the Mishnah says that upon the death of the father, the Lokeach gets it, that's regardless of when the father dies. Laoshna meis haben b'chayav, da'asu liyade de ben, or laoshna meis haben b'chayav, da'asu liyade de ben, lokeach, kana lokeach. Alma, kasavar kinin peyat laka kinin haguf dami, v'chi kazav indidei kazav. Right? In other words, who is considered the Bailam? Vanan. Now, and the same thing would be true over here, presumably in the case of Nechzei Malon. If you hold Kinyan Peres, Kinyan Aguf Dami, so then the wife cannot sell the Nechzei Malon. If you hold Kinyan Peres, Lavka Kinyan Aguf Dami, then the wife could sell the Nechzei Malon. Or in this case, she's not selling it, but she's giving it to her son. So if you hold like Rav Yochanan, so then the son doesn't get it. If you hold like Reish Lakish, then the son would get it. Da'anan hashta bein Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, ubein Rabbi Abba, ubein Rav Yehuda, ki Rav Shimon ben Lakish, svir lo. Either way, it's like Reish Lakish. V'ka'ama Rabbi, right, which means what? The son, the father, the mother has the right to give it to her son. V'kam Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, isal kadaitach kinyin perk kinyin aguf dami, ki ma'yis ahav, u'ma'yis ha-ben b'chayav, No, even though in the case of our Mishnah and Bava Basra will hold not Bava Basra, it comes up in Bava Basra, but it's in Vamos. Even though in the Mishnah we will hold over there that we'll hold that kinin peros lavka kinin haguf dami, and therefore if the Baal haguf sells it, it's a valid sale. But this is different. My time, Rav Yosef Bishlam itana ipcha kosim hazal levnat laaviv ikal nifshat mina de kinin peros lavka kinin haguf dami. This is very strange, right? Why are you writing anyway? You're nechasim livno. After all, your son is Yarish, right? So why did you do it? It must be to give him a special kayach, such that he could sell it. Amar lei Abaye, Abaye says back to Rav Yosef, Atu bra Yaris Abba, Abba Yaris bra. We know that a father, that Yerusha goes in both directions. So why do you bother writing this? The reason why you would do it, that why would a son write his nechasim to his father? Because he doesn't want his kids to get his nechasim. He doesn't like his kids. They're a bunch of bums. Back to his father. So hachanami. The father doesn't like the other kids. He only likes one of his sons. So that's why he wrote this. So you can't prove anything. In other words, it's not a deal why he goes in the direction of the father or the son. Elamai ein adam lemishnas sein. A different reason. Mishon takanas usha. Dem Rav Yosef bar Chanina. Bushe skinu. Haisha shemach rev nechsim alor. B'chai ba'ila. Umei sabal motzim yad alakuchos. Made a special takanan usha. That if the wife sells her nechsim alor, then it's basically an invalid sale. When she dies, assuming she dies before the husband could be motzim yad alakuchos. Now, what's the point of Takana Susha? So if you hold like Reish Lakish, then we understand why you need Takana Susha, because Mikra Adin, Kinyan Peres Lavka, Kinyan Aguf Dami, so the Lakucho should get it. We need to made a special Takana Susha that Habal Motzi Miad Lakuchos. If you hold like Rabbi Yochanan, doesn't seem like there should be any need for Takana Susha, so that's a question that the Rishonim deal with extensively, starting with the Tosfos on our Sugya. So, good. So now what we're going to do is try to explain this sugya of Kenyan Peres Kenyan Aguf Dami or not. What exactly does it mean? What are they arguing about? And the like. Because it's a very strange machlokas. We know exactly what it is. One person has the Kenyan Peros. One person has the Kenyan Aguf. Right? What room is there for debate, for options? Hard to understand. So the first thing we should do is define what we mean by Kenyan Peros, right? So we have two examples, which are basically the same example so far in our Gemara. Kenyan Peros is the example of the Baal B'Nechsei Malug, and also the father in the case of HaKosev Nechasev Levno L'Achar Misa. So what is included in a Kenyan Peros? So there's a run in the Darm, Dav Chaf Tasim Aleph, Dima Maschar Malei Abaye, who basically indicates that Kenyan Peros is anything that isn't a Kenyan Olam. It's not limited to a Kenyan Peros whereby I say you could have Peros of my asset, but anything that's basically not a Kenyan Olam. For example, there's a sugi at the end of Bava Basra, and it's worth seeing, and this is a little more complicated because there's a machlokas, Rashbam, and Tosus there, how exactly Acharecha relates to the debate of Kenyan Peros, Kenyan Guftam or not. But without getting into too much details, let's say I say this asset is yours, Vacharecha Laploni, and afterwards it's going to go to Ploni, right? So that is an example, perhaps, of, we'll say that the eventual recipient is the Kenyan Aguf, and the current owner is the Kenyan Peros. Why? Because he doesn't have it forever. Or even more than that, the Gemara in Bava Basra over there assumes that if you were to go ahead and have the following situation, every case of Mechiras Karka Bizman Sheyovel Noheg is basically a Kenyan Peros, right? What does that mean? I go ahead and I sell my land, my ancestral heritage, to Yoni, right? Now, this is a full-fledged Mechira, 100%. And yet, the Gemara calls it a Kenyan Peros. Yoni is only deemed to have a Kenyan Peros. Why? Because it's not a Mechira Leola. Why? Because it's going to come back to me at Yovel. And 40 years from now, I'm getting it back. So that's only effectively a Kenyan Peros. Now, it's not like the cases in, let's say, Nechsei Malug, where we say, well, Nechsei Malug, you could have said, basically, she's the owner, and she allows him to use the Peros while they're married. That's why we're calling it a Kenyan Peros, because she's the owner. She's allowing him to use the Peros. No, in that case, you are the full-fledged owner, right? I have given you my land. I sold you my land. But we still say that since it's not a Mechira Leolam, because it's going to come back to me, Bizman Sheyovel Noheg, if there's a Yovel. So, therefore, it's also a Kenyan Peros. And the Gemara says, the Nafka Mina would be for Kriyas Bikurim, Mikra Bikurim. Can Yoni go ahead and read the Parsha of Mikra Bikurim? Because over there it says, it refers to the Adama, that Karka is Li. And so if you hold Kenyan Peros, Kikinina Guftami, so then Yoni could say Li, because even though it's true, you only have a Kenyan Peros, but it's Li, because Kikinina Guf. And if you say it's Lot, Kikinina Guftami, then Yoni can't say Li. So that's the idea. The idea is that a Kenyan Peros is a Kenyan Lizman. It could be a short Zman, like one day. It could be an indefinite Zman, like the cases of our Gemara of Nechsei Malug or Kosev Livno, or it could be a definitive amount of time, like the case of Mocher Karka Bizman Sheyovel Noheg. The common denominator is that it's a Kenyan Lizman. Now, if you take a look, actually, at the Rambams that you have in the first source over here, the top right of page 1, where it says Rambam Hilchos Mechira, you have here Hilchos Mechira Perchav Gimel from Halacha Aleph through Halacha Ches, more or less. And we're not going to actually go through them now, but it points out that there are different types of Mechira Lizman, and you have to figure out if all of them are Begeder Kenyan Peros, such that if you held Kenyan Peros, Kenyan Guftami, they would be. For example, would you hold that Schiros is Kenyan HaGuf, if you learn like Rabbi Yochanan? Because what is Schiros? Schiros basically is you have this Chos Peros, right? you, if I rent you my farmland for a year, so the idea is basically you get all the payrolls for the year. So would we say that if you hold a Rav Yochanan, it's kikinina guftami? Or no? That, we wouldn't go that far. Because the schiros lo kanya, it's not actually a kinyan. The only machlokas is going to be when it's a kinyan. It's a kinyan payrolls, as opposed to schiros, which is like a zchus payrolls or a shibud payrolls and the like. So that's what the Rambam over here discusses. If you look, skipping to halacha, hey, there's a bunch of possibilities. Hamocher guf hakarka l'zman katsuv is one level, right? A temporary sale. Number two is makne karka l'peirosav. Number three is mocher peirosade. Number four is schiros, right? All those are the same type of thing that one party gets schus peros, but do we really treat them the same or not? So that's one of the things that you see from this Rambam, that the Rambam says all four of these are a little bit different, and that brings us to the question, you know, about which ones will we say kinyan haguf or not, right? In Halacha Aleph, he writes, makne adam haguf leperosav, bein mocher, bein matana, bein matna shemira, bein ze makne davar shelo bal yolam, sharei guf matzui, makne leperos, halam azedom, el socher bias. So guf leperos is like schiros. But then, in Halacha Hey, Vav, Zayin, and Ches, he shows that there's a difference between Mechira L'Zman Katzov versus Makne L'Peiros. For example, if it's, could the other guy, could the recipient start digging holes in it? And there's then another nafkamina between Mocher L'Peiros versus Mocha Sada Leperos versus Mocha Peros Sada. Nafkamina, what is your rights to enter it? And then that's a difference between Schiros. So, but those distinctions aren't necessarily fundamental. They might be technical. For example, Kone Sada Leperos and socher mechaveira, which sounds like in Halacha Aleph they are the same thing, even though there are certain technical differences. And also there's a machlokas between the Rambam here and Tosus and Bava Metzia. So again, I don't think we'll get into this so much now, but it highlights there are different ways. But without getting into those details, fundamentally what we want from here, or really from the Rambam, is that the definition of a kinyan peiros is going to be anytime it's a mechira lizman. That's what the Rambam says. A mechira lizman is a kinyan peiros, and that doesn't mean that every schus peiros though is going to be in this parsha. In other words, it doesn't necessarily mean that, let's say, schiros is considered a kinyan peiros. Okay. Now, everybody's going to agree also that, like we said, that the baal ha-peiros has a certain schos, and that the, you know, baal ha-guf has a certain schos. So, what is the machlokas? What is the machlokas? What are they arguing about? We know exactly the schuyos of the baal ha-peiros, and we know exactly the schuyos of the baal haguf. So where is there room for debate? So the impression you get is that the question is, who do we see as having the same baila? In other words, they both have this chus. So a nafkamina that's going to come up at the end of the sugya, for example, which is a little more clear-cut than the nafkamina is at the beginning of the sugya. We won't spend time on it now because we'll get there in a day or two. But the nafkamina from the end of the sugya is, let's say, the din of Yomo Yomayim. Right, we know the halacha is that if a person kills their eved, they're chayiv misa, but if they don't die, they live for yom yomayim, and then they die, so then he's pater for misa, ki kaspa hu. So who has the shame by them? So let's give an example. Let's say, imagine, Macher Avdo, but Pasuk Yimosh Yishem Shenu Shloshim Yom. Right? I sell my Eved to Phil. I say, but I wanna keep on using it for another 30 days. So what's who's the Kinyan Peros? Me. Who is the Kinyan Aguf? Phil. So if you hold Kinyan Peros are to Kinyan Aguf Dami, so who has the Shem Bailim? Me. So if I would be Vidin Yomo Yomayim, so that would mean that if Phil kills the Eved and he lives a day or two, Phil's gonna be Chayv Misa, but if I do, I'll be Pater from Misa. And if you hold Kinyan Peros, it's Kinyan Aguf. If you hold Kinyan Peros, Lavka Kinyan Aguf, so who is the Shem Bailim? Phil. So if Phil kills the Eved, and the Eved lives for a day or two, so he'll be Pater, but if I do, I'll be Chayev. In other words, we're trying to figure out, who is the Shem Bailim? We know what I have, and we know what Phil has. Right? I have Schlis Peros for the next 30 days, and Phil, after 30 days, is going to get the Eved forever and ever. Right? So, but it's a very obvious question. So who? But who's the Bailim, right? Do we look at you as the Bailim because you're going to keep it forever and ever? Do we look at me as the Bailim because right now I have the Zchuyos? So in that case, it's very easy to understand the Tut Shtadim. It's a little more straightforward. If we consider the example that we had before of my selling the land to Yoni, Bisman Sheyovel Noig, so it's also, in a sense, a little more straightforward. We know what Yoni has. Yoni basically has the rights to use this karka for the next 40 years until Yovel. We know what I have, which is that the Torah says, I'm going to get it back when Yovel comes. So now the question is, could Yoni say, leave? It's my land. Well, on the one hand, he bought it, but on the other hand, it's going to leave in 40 years. So that's the question. Who has the Shem Bailim? Right? If you hold Kinyan Peros, Kinyan Aguf, then Yoni has the Shem Bailim. It would be absolutely honest for him to say, Adamasha Nasata Li. If I have the Shem Bailim, it would be dishonest. He can't say it. That's the, in a certain sense, the more standard cases. Our cases are a little more complex. Why is it a little more complex? Because what you're trying to do, in this case, let's say, Nechsei Melog, is you're affecting the future of the object, right? So why do we say it's Tully? In other words, we're not talking about who has the Shem Bailim now in a more direct way, like in the case of Yomo Yomayim, or in the case of Mikra Bikurim. So why is it Tully? So the simple understanding is like this, because one of the zechuyos of a owner is the ability to sell something or give it away. So who do we see as having the Shem Bailim? In the event that we see the Baal Kinyan Peros as the Shem Bailim, so Mimela, the wife, doesn't have that schus mechira. If we assume, though, that the Baal Kinyan Aguf has the Shem Bailim, the wife has the Zchus Mechira. Now, of course, just because she has the Zchus Mechira, she can't be mafkia, the Shibud that the Baal has. So as long as the husband's alive, she can't take away his Zchus Peros because he is contractually zocha to that Zchus, right? She was mishabed her karka for Peros during the duration of the marriage. But she is the Shem Bailim, and Memela, one of the Zechuyos of Bailim, is the ability to sell, as long as that sale isn't Mafkia Ashibud. And therefore, Memela, as soon as that Shibud ends, namely, the marriage ends, however it ends, the marriage ends through his death, her death, or divorce, as soon as the marriage ends, then there's no longer the Shibud Habal Peros. So Mimela, if you hold like that Kinyan Peros Lavka Kinyan Aguf Dami, so her sale will be valid as soon as that Shibud ends. And therefore, as soon as the marriage ends, the Lokeach will get it. Whereas if you hold Kinyan Peros is Kinyan Aguf Dami, so then she lacks that ability to sell. she lacks the ability to sell. So therefore, in the event that she dies before the husband, the lokayach will not get it. Now you could ask an interesting shaila. Ooh, if that's true, so then maybe she shouldn't even get it if the lokucho, shouldn't even get it if he dies first, right? The Gemara says that lekulei alma, bein Rav Yochanan and bein Reish Lakish, if the husband dies first or the husband divorces her, the lekuchos could get it. Now, that seems to contradict what we just said. Why? Because we just said what? We just said that if you hold like Rabbi Yochanan, so the husband is the Bailam, and if we hold like Reish Lakish, she is the Bailam. So, therefore, if you hold like Rabbi Yochanan, I'll say that even if she sells it and he dies first, the Lekucho shouldn't get it. Right? Who's the Bailam? Baal Kenyan Peros. Who has the ability to sell? The Baal Kenyan Peros. So you'll tell me, okay, she's not the Bailam, he's the Bailam, but she could still sell it because she's going to become the Bailam when he dies, right?
When he dies. Has to sell it again.
So what do we call that? We call that a Kenyan or a Mechir and Davar Shalom Aliola, right? If I sell you something that I don't yet have, I'm planning tomorrow to buy a property in Fort Lee. And I'll sell it to you today. What does it mean? I said, I don't own it yet. It means as soon as I buy it, it'll be yours. So that's a mechir and darash al oliyola. So isn't that exactly what she's trying to do over here? It's true. If he dies first, he divorces her, she's going to get the land back, right? But how could she sell it? Yet everybody agrees that she can. So what's going on here? So the Rishonim asked this question. If you take a look back at your Makor sheets, the second source under the Rambam, you'll see two answers. One, Tosfos in Yevamos. The second is from the Rim Magash. So first we'll do the one for Tosfos in Yevamos, Yesh Lomar, where it's underlined. De legabe hachi, lo alam kinyan peros, levata legamre kinyan haguth deben, v'kevin de basof asya sadali day deben, chashiv mecher. So what does this mean? A very interesting lashon. Right? Let's read it carefully again. The legabi hachi lo inyan kinyan peros. Yes, it's true. Here it's talking about the father, but it would be the same thing for the husband, right? Legabi hachi lo alim kinyan peros of the husband levatal kinyan agoth de ben or de isha levatal legamri. So, very interesting, Lashon. What does Tosfos say? That, first of all, Tosfos is telling us the mechanism of Rabbi Yochanan. Namely, that the mechanism of Yochanan is that the Kenyan Peros is so strong, it's Mevatel, the Kenyan Haguf, of the Baal Kenyan Haguf, let's say in this case of the wife, right? In this case, the wife goes ahead and she says, okay, Mr. Husband, I'm allowing you to use my field as long as we're married. So she's thinking, it's my field, right? I'm just letting you use my field. So why in the world, what in the world is Rabbi Yochanan talking about? Reish Lakish makes perfect sense, right? If I tell you, here, you could use my Rambam. Do we say you become the owner of the Rambam? No. You have the zchus to use my Rambam. So the answer is, no, that, well, allowing you to use my Rambam does not mean you have a Kenyan Peros in my Rambam. As we said, even Schirus Bepashtus doesn't give you a Kenyan Peros. That's just a Schus Peros, a Shibudl Peros. Kenyan Peros is something more. And that Kenyan Peros that you have, right, is Mevatel my Kenyan Aguf. Because Kenyan Peros is Kenyan Aguf Dami, meaning to say, we see that as the predominant aspect of ownership. We'll define that a little later. But we see that as the predominant aspect of ownership. So therefore, it's mevatel my ownership. The Kenyan Peros that the Baal Kenyan Peros has is mevatel the ownership of the Kenyan Aguf. Now, if that went all the way, the Kenyan Peros, the Baal Kenyan Agaris Peros, was Mivata Legamre the Kenyan Peros, the Kenyan Aguf, or the Baal Kenyan Aguf. So then indeed, if the Baal Kenyan Aguf were to sell it, it would be Darshalob Liolam. right? So if it went all the way, if we mamish said, according to Rav Yochanan, kinyan peres is kikinyan aguf legamre, so then taka, the baal kinyan aguf, in this case the wife, couldn't sell it. And if she did sell it, even if the husband died first, the lokeach would have nothing. But that's not true. We don't go that far. What do we say? We say still the baal kinyan aguf, the woman in this case, has a little bit of kinyan aguf, right? We still call her the baalas kinyan aguf. She has something. She just doesn't have the full sheim baalim. The ikar sheim baalim are shach to the baal kinyan aperos, that's the baal. His kinyan aperos is mevatel hakinyan aguf shela, but not legamri mevatel. So since she's still the owner to some degree, she's still the baalas kinyan aguf, so therefore, if she sells it now, it's not a kinyan and davar shel bli olam. So therefore, should the husband die first, memela, the lokeach will get it. But it is primarily mevatel her kinyan aguf, and that's why should she die first, the lokeach gets nothing. That's what Taisa says. Let's look at the Rabban. And he actually has two questions from the Rimagash. And one, the one we just said, one is an additional one, and he shows how the two questions answer each other, but it implies a slightly different Havana. Hik Shekan Rav Yosef Halevi Zal. Rav Yochanan Damar Kinin Peres Kikinin Aguf Dami Amai Kani Lokeach Dechimai. Right, see where we are? Remember? So, when we hold like Rav Yochanan that Kinyan Peres is Kinyan Aguf Dami. So why is the Lokeach Kona it when the Av is Meis B'chai HaBen? Vayin Adam Makna Davar L'Chaveo Davar Shalom Al Yaylam Kilom Rashalom Al Yado. Right? Since we're going to say who's the real owner according to Rav Yochanan, the father who has the Kinyan Aguf. So when the son sells the property, it's like me selling you a property. And fourthly, Visu Kashale Hadu Kimna Liel Gufa Kani Mehayom Uperilachar Misa. Moreover, the Gemara says later on that what happens, what are we talking about when Mocher Hakone Nechasa Livno Lachar Moso? What does that mean? It's really Mehayom Ulachar Misa, meaning to say Guf Mehayom Peres Lachar Misa. So if it's Guf Mehayom, so why does Rabbi Yochanan say that the father has Kinyan Aguf, right? Rabbi Yochanan says Kinyan Peres Kinyan Aguf. So who's the Baal Kinyan Aguf? Who? The father. But we just said, what does it mean? The son, what did the son give the father? Sorry, what did the father give the son? Kinyan Aguf. So it's a stira. Rabbi Yochanan says the father is the Kinyan Aguf. But the whole idea was he's giving the Guf now. So says the Rimagash, quoted by the Ramban, Nishtei Kushios Elu Metarzo Su Azu. The two questions answer each other. Da fil udamar kinyan peres kinyan aguf dami. Even though we say kinyan peres is kinyan aguf dami, so the baal, or in this case the father is the baal kinyan aguf. Bra nami is like kinyan aguf. The son also is a kinyan aguf. Now that sounds like the answer we just saw in Tosfos, right? The son also has it. It's not mevata lagamre kinyan aguf shelo. But he goes on. He doesn't quite say that. Umi umils mitla tali v'kai. It's actually up in the air. Kima is av the chayaban. If the father dies first, iglai tmei shaita kanya. We're going to say iglai nosam afreya that the son is kona the kinyan aguf retroactively from the time of the matana. Uma machar lo rishon l'sheni kos choshet tavol yado dehagla agida bei mekar. So memela when the son sells the property. If the father dies first, it's a valid sale. Because retroactively, it turns out that he was the owner at the time of the sale. So it's not like me selling Phil property in Fort Lee. Because when I sell you property in Fort Lee, and then I buy it tomorrow, I didn't buy it retroactively from today. Right? But here, when the son eventually gets it, he gets it retroactively from the time of the gifting. But if he doesn't end up getting it because the son dies before the father, paka kinyane legabe lokeach, it's a garnished, de lav yarishti day. In other words, sounds to me, it's a little weaker than Tosfos. Actually, he doesn't have anything now necessarily. Retroactively, we're going to find out either that he has everything or he has nothing. But since retroactively we might find out that he has everything, so therefore on the tzad that he does get it, the mechira is chal, right? Because it's mehayom la'achar nisa. Okay. Good. So that is two opinions here as to what the, according to Rav Yochanan, what the Baal Kinyan of Guf has. Now, let's try to understand the svaros of each of the two opinions, of Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So, actually, before we get to the svaros, let's actually try to understand what they're saying, and then we'll talk about the svaros. So, let's start with Rav Yochanan. So again, Rav Yochanan holds Kinyan Peres as Kinyan of Guf, don't we? So, L'chayra, what he's saying is that since the Iker aspect of ownership is the ability to use and enjoy, what we're calling the Kinyan Peros, so Mimela, that's why Rabbi Yochanan holds that Kinyan Peros is Kinyan Aguf. Now, how do I know that's the Pshat Rabbi Yochanan? So that's the Mashmos of Rashbam in Bava Basra, Daf Nun Amud Alef, Dibur Maschil Kinyan. Rashbam writes, De'en Gufo Omed Ala LePerosav. In other words, it's very nice say it the other way. Who cares about owning something if you don't have the payros from that ownership, right? The whole kinyan is about payros. Payros here could mean fruits, but it's not limited to fruits, it means your ability to use, right? If you tell me that I own a property in Midtown Manhattan. We know property in Midtown Manhattan is very valuable. Very valuable. Right? I own a property in Midtown Manhattan, but I have no zchuyos in it. I can't live in it. I can't rent it. I can't lease it. So that's not very very helpful to me. Right? Doesn't matter. So says the Rashbam, Ein gufo omid ela peiros. So since whoever has the Kinyan peiros, so they are going to be considered the Iker Shem Bailam. That's Rabbi Yochanan Svara. Now, as we said before, that doesn't mean that he would agree, Rabbi Yochanan would agree in the case of Schiras, because in the case of Schiras, even though the Socher has the rights to the Peiros, it's merely a Shibud. Right, at least according to the opinion in Avodah Zarah on Daf Tazan of the base, that Schiros is not a Kenyan. Right? Maybe if you hold Schiros is a Kenyan, then it would be the same as a Kenyan Peros. So that's something that the Shar Yosher discusses. But the point is that Rabbi Yochanan, assuming Schiros isn't a Kenyan, so Rabbi Yochanan only maintains his position of Kenyan Peros, Kenyan or Guf, when he's defined as having a Kenyan Peros, not just a Schus Peros. So the point is, again, Rabbi Yochanan holds that since the Iker Kinyan is for the Peros, Mela, if you have a Kinyan of Peros, basically, you're the Iker Bailam. Okay. Now, what does Reish Lakish hold? So Reish Lakish holds Kinyan of Peros is Lav, Kinyan of Guf. So maybe I'll say, according to Reish Lakish, that we just look at the owner, or the Balkanian Peros, as like a socher, as a renter, right? In other words, just like we said, Pashtus, even Rabbi Yochanan agrees, that by Schiros, again, assuming Schiros is Lokania, so by Schiros, Rabbi Yochanan agrees that the owner, when I rent you my house for a week, you don't, even according to Yochanan, you know, you have this chus peros in the house for a week, we don't see you as the owner. But if I give you a Kenyan peros, then we do see you as the owner. So the Mishnah of Reish Lakish is no. That even when you have the Kenyan peros, still you're just like a socher, right? I'm the owner, and it's like you have a shibud for the peros, right? So let's say in the case of the Nechsi Mulug, essentially the husband has a shibud on the guf peros, just like a socher does. That's probably the most intuitive way to say that Reish Lakish is looking at it as, right? That's a simple reading for Shabbos. But it's very hard to say that. Why? Let's go back to some of the examples that we used for Kenyan Peros. So one example we had is the case in Bava Basra. By what? By Mechira Bizman Shayovel Nari. Now, I go ahead and I sell my field to Yomi, right? So we're going to say Yoni is just like a socher. That's very hard to hear, right? Because I said, right, we called it a mechira. Happens to be it's going to come back after 40 years to me. But that's likely afkasa de malka. That's exer sakasa. Hashem says, you know, Yovel comes, goes back to me. But it's yours. And moreover, you know, if Yovel would be not knowing, then Yoni is going to keep it forever. Or at least until Yovel starts to be knowing again. Right? So it's very hard to imagine that according to Reish Lakish, we're going to see Yoni as just a socher. And moreover, it's not the pshat that Mechiras Man HaYovel knowing is just Ki'ilu Tzchiras. Again, maybe you could say that, right? The Lashon of Pesukim and the Parsha of Onah sort of sound that way. But that's the question. But it's also very hard to imagine, especially if it's Afkasa de Malka, right? And I'll give you another manifestation of this. This is actually a machlokes between the Rashbam and Tosfos. But according to Rashbam in Bava Basra, even if you hold that Kenyan Peres Lavka Kenyan Aguf Dami, so Yoni cannot say the Parsha Bikurim, he can't say Hadamash and Asata Li, but he's still Chayv Midairaisa to bring Bikurim. I don't think you'd say that for a socher. Doesn't make too much sense. According to some opinions, this is also comes up in the Gemara there in Bava Basra. It would be yours, for example. It would be lachem for purposes of the esrog. So it doesn't sound like Rashbam is simply saying that according to Reish Lakish, Yoni is a schiras, socher, because he has to bring Bikur Midaraisa. Why? Because it says Asher Tavi Me'artzacha. It's Artzacha. Just you can't say Hadamash and Asatali. Tosu says, I don't know what you're talking about. If it's not Hadamash and Asatali, how is it Asher Tavi Me'artzacha? Right? Okay. So Rashbam thinks there's a difference. We could talk about why. But what's Rashbam think? However you understand the difference, it's Artzacha. So therefore, the second option is, no, even Reish Lakish agrees that the Baal Kenyan Peros has some type of Kenyan. It's just a weaker type of Kenyan. You don't have the Shem Bailam, the Iker Shem Bailam. That goes back to the definition that I said before, which is, who has the Iker Shem Bailam? Well, one nafkamina is going to be Lagabe Yomo Yomayim. Another nafkamina is, could you say Adamar Shem Asata Li? Another nafkamina will be Lagabe Mechira. But what we're essentially saying is that you could argue, maybe not everybody's going to agree to this, but you could argue that both Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish agree that are not claiming that whoever has the quote-unquote Kenyan HaGuf has exclusive bailus. The question is, like we said before, is the Iker bailus. Even according to Reish Lakish, Yoni has some type of bailus on the land that I sold him, Bizman Sheyovel Noeg, the Haraya, he's Chayim Deraisa, to bring Bikurim, maybe. And likewise, even Rav Yochanan agrees, at least if you learn like that Tosfos that we saw from Yevamos, even Rav Yochanan agrees that there is some level of bailus to the other party, to the Kenyan HaGuf, the Haraya, if they sell it, it's not considered a mechira on davar shelo b'liolam. The question is, like we're saying, who's considered to have the ikar shein b'liolam? And that idea that I just said from Reish Lakish is spelled out very beautifully in that tshuva from Rav Moshe, which I put over here in your source sheet. So I was going to read it together with you, but he says a little more than I just said, but it's late, so we'll read it inside. But just to say it again, what causes the land let's say in our case where the woman gives the nechsei melug to her son, right? What causes the land to go to the child? So Reish Lakish says that if I'm eventually going to get it, right? Or in this case, the wife. If the wife has, if the ultimate destination of the land is back to the wife, or in the case of Mechira B'Zman She'olam Noeg, the ultimate destination of the land is back to the Mocher, it's back to me. So, licked in the object is some type of inherent ownership, which will give me certain zchuyos, among other things, to sell it. And that's true even if it's afgasa demalka. That's the tremendous chiddush. In other words, even though it's afgasa demalka, which sounds like it means I'm giving it to you, and after 40 years, Hashem takes it from you and gives it back to me. No. If it's only to come back to me, then it's still mine. Because any time it's a kinyan l'zman, effectively, any time it's coming back to me, even if it's mibachutz, even if it's afgasa demalka, I have something in the object. So if we ask what's the svara of Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, what's the nekudas hamachlokas, we could sort of say it in two different ways, I think. And we don't have time to consider today, is there evidence to which one is right? But we'll just say it. So the first is the approach that we're saying basically now, based off of the Ran, which is according to Reish Lakish, ownership is eternal. And therefore, in determining who the owner is, or the ikar shein b'liolam, we look at where it's going to end up. Right? By definition, if I can't keep it forever, then I'm not truly the owner. And therefore, wherever it's going to end up is the true owner. So therefore, even though I sold Yoni that land, since it's going to end up back by me, we can't see Yoni as the true owner, even if it's Afgasa Demalka. Wherever it's going to end up, that is the true owner. And if I can't keep it forever, I'm not the true owner. Whereas, what does Rabbi Yochanan say, going back to that Rashbam in Bava Basra, right? He says, no, we look at practical ownership rights. Usage, peros, even the rights to damage, like Lach Bar Boros Sichon Umayros. If you have the right to do whatever you want to do to this object, then you are the Iker Bailam, because ownership is defined by those Zichuyos. Good. So that is one possibility. Another way of looking at it is to say that, and again, they might both be true. The first way I'm saying it is that Reish Lakish, what's motivating Reish Lakish is the eternality or the permanence of ownership, right? Ownership is defined by eternality. I guess we could take it this way also. We don't have to say it as a different way. Another way of saying the same thing would be like this. There's a famous machlokas achronim, and it's really meforish and machlokas rishonim and a number of other subjects, and it might be what's going on over here, machlokas amoraim as well. And we don't want to make every machlokas amoraim into machlokas achronim, but let's think about it a little bit. So whether you should define ownership as titular or a bundle of sticks. If you go first year law school, this is one of the things that they teach you. So what do I mean by that? Is ownership defined by its schuyos? Or is ownership defined by who has the title? Reish Lakish says we look at ownership titularly. In other words, whoever has the title, he's really the ikar baalim. If it's going to end up by me, then I really have the title. I have the titular ownership. It might be that I, for the next 50 years, or 80 years, or 90 years, or whatever it is, I don't have any zuyos in this. But I have the title. What's the raya? Because it's going to come back to me eventually. And that is the ikar definition of ownership. Reish Lakish, Rav Yochanan, says no. Ownership is defined by zuyos, the ability to use, to make peros, to destroy even, right? Lach for Bavaros, Yechon Amiros, anything. Now, where might you see this? So this comes up in Bava Kama and Daf Samachas on the base. There's a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. If I steal something, the owners were not yet Misyaish. So we know that the Ganif can't be Mocher. It can't be Mekadish, the object, Makdish, the object. And usually Hekdish is something that's reserved for the owners. But it's a machlokas, Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, whether the Nigzal could be Makdish it. According to Rav Yochanan, no. According to Reish Lakish, yes. Now this might be the same machlokas if we're looking at it this way. Because in this case, the ownership, the Nigzal, still has the title. Right? He has titular ownership. But he doesn't have any zchlios in it because it's not their shuso. The Goslin has taken it. He can't do anything with it. So that might be another reflection of the same machlokas. You have to see if this works in the cheshbonos, but just another place where you might see Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish arguing. Now, we're not going to get into this now, but the big question that we're going to see in the sugya is exactly how we paskin. And that's what Tosfos is going to deal with here, as well as Tosfos in Gittin, parallel to our Tosfos, which I put on your sheets. You should see that after you see our Tosfos, especially where it's bolded. There's another answer to this question. And also, it seems that the Rambam, as well as other Rishonim, don't hold of either questions of Tosfos, answers of Tosfos, which would lead to another possibility, and that you could see in the Ketzais on number two. The question basically is going to be like this. If you hold that we paskin presumably like Reish Lakish, that Kenyan Peros is like the Kenyan Agafdam. So that means that if Yoni has a Kenyan Peros, right, he can't say Mikra Bikurim. And we also hold that Ha'achim Shekanu Lekuchos Hein, Ein Breira, Machsirin Zel Lezeh Biyovel. L'chora we paskin Ein Breira, Chora. So if we paskin Ein Breira, so that means two brothers are Yoyresh Karka. So we don't really know who was Zaycha to the true Yerusha, right? Maybe they got it right, maybe they got it wrong. So they're Machzion Zel is Ebiova. So that leads to the absurd conclusion that the only time you could ever say Mikra Bikurim is when one son, all the way back to Yeshua bin Nun. Sure, yeah. So that's absurd. And we want to be in the base Medrash. We want to learn. So we're going to be stuck. And so the question is, how do you grapple with that problem? So one answer for Tosfos in our sugya, one answer for the Tosis in Gittin, and one answer for the Rambam found in the Ketzais HaFosha. And so we'll do that on Sunday. We didn't get the Ashkafic component to the Shir. I did actually have a little bit of one. But we'll say like this, which is that just something to think about, which is, what is our Kenyan in the Olam Hazeh? Kenyan Peros, Kenyan Aguf, what does that mean? But for another time. Okay, Shkayach.
Well, who do you pass like first? I don't know.
That's what you need to figure out.
Life-changing stuff.
Yes, exactly. So you might not be able to wait till Sunday to do it. No, you have to do it.